Good morning. Today is Friday, April the 28th. Joining us this morning, because he had nothing better to do. How's that for a low threshold of interest? Tom Mattson from Humboldt County Public Works. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
Yeah, and it's sunny, so it is a good morning,
it's
huh?
It's a very good morning.
Are you ready for a proverb?
You bet.
You're not Swedish, are you?
Nope.
Okay.
Well, maybe.
I think I've got like 1% somewhere.
I'm 2% Euro mix.
Okay. Oh, well, then this ought to be right up your alley then. Quote, those who wish to sing always find a song. And probably goes the other way too, I would suspect.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a lot of songs I'd like to sing, but yeah. You don't want to hear me sing.
Yeah. Oh, my. With all of the weather and all of the weather-related stuff that Caltrans is dealing with. Empathy? Sympathy?
Both, but I'm tired of driving Highway 36 as well.
Yeah, and I think highway should be put in quotes, don't you?
Yeah, it's a long drive over on that road, especially when the weather's bad. But, you know, they've got $600 million in damage statewide, probably another $400 million plus in county road damage statewide. It's been a hard winter on everybody.
As you look at some of the things, Tom, that we are experiencing here, whether it's the slip-outs on 101 or the slides on 101, 299, 36, 199, is any of this, and the culvert issues also, are any of those things predictable? Not a 10-year prediction, but a monitoring and looking at it and going, okay, this is a situation, we got to pay attention to this for the next, for this season at least, till it dries out and we can put folks up on the mountain, underneath the road, whatever it may happen to be.
Some of them are. Some of them just come out of the blue. We've had slides come where it's been stable for years. And then we have, you know, check our culverts on a regular basis. But when you get overwhelmed with rain and you've got, you know, 10,000 culverts spread throughout 1,200 miles of road, it's hard to be checking them on a regular basis when you're trying to unplug the ones that are plugging.
It's been intriguing to me to see some of the slip-out slides, whatever we want to, I guess slide is the proper term, along that haven't been there. There's one that always, just north of Klamath at Minnow Creek. It was like a little release.
Yeah.
But there's a number of those from here to, from Eureka to Ferndale.
Yeah.
There's a couple of those that just look like it must have hit carrying capacity and just
slipped.
Went.
Yeah. And it's those are the ones that are more dangerous because you're not prepared for them to go. When you're looking at the bigger slides, you can see those for miles away. You know they're going to go. But those ones that just come out of the blue, the grass is green, the trees are going straight up, and the next thing you know, the tree's in the middle of the road.
That's why you get paid the big bucks, huh?
That's why my crews...
Look, there's a tree down. We got to take care of
that. Out come the chainsaws, out come the loaders.
Oh, that's about... Yeah, loaders and trucks. We'll talk about that when we come back. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:19.
You've never heard us before, because we're something brand new. It's called Destination Radio. If you live in Ferndale or Gold Beach, Blue Lake or Klamath, Brookings or Eureka, you'll be looking for someplace different to take the family, something special to do next weekend. The best destinations for day trips and overnights, for hiking or biking, for beachcombing or birdwatching, and you'll turn to us for ideas, because you're the reason we're here, to help you find your close-to-home destination. Stay, play, and relax with us, Destination Radio.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 8:23. We're back to talk shop this morning with Tom Mattson. Tom, with the slides, winter weather, and let's just call it that, whether it's snow or rain or pestilence, it doesn't probably matter too terribly much. The past decade or so, we've kind of skated through.
Oh, yeah.
A little bit. Is this resetting the the scale, so to speak, and catching up 8 or 10 years worth of slips, slides, fills, culverts, all that, all in one tight window? Or is this just something different?
This is both. It's catching up and something different. The closest winter I've ever had to this is 98, since I've been with the county. And this is even more overwhelming than 98. So you had all the dry years, which really are really good for the roads and really spoiled us. And then we have this year, and it's a wake-up call. It's like, this is Humboldt County. Get your boots on, get your shovel, and get out there.
The intriguing part for me is that in normal wet, it is condensed and we have these things called floods. And we haven't really experienced, I mean, there's been a little bit, certainly, but it hasn't been huge over the top. You know, if we said we're going to get 50% more moisture next year than we do in a normal year, everybody would be thinking sandbags and, you know, pontoons and, you know, visions of 64 and 55 popping in our head. Wasn't the case this time.
Wasn't the case, but it never stopped. And so everything got saturated and didn't have a chance to drain and get more capacity. And so it just kept coming and coming. And while it wasn't overwhelming at any given one time, it just got oversaturated and boom, it went.
Is saturation more erosion causing?
Yeah, because it loads the soil up with water and the water doesn't drain out. And eventually there's just too much. It's nice to get, you know, a rain come in, even a heavy rain for a day or two, and then get a week of clear weather. We didn't have that many weeks of clear weather this winter. It was just constant, whether it was hard rain or soft rain, it just kept coming.
So with a budget that you're playing with now.
What budget?
Okay, let's say your anticipation document. Are you going to kind of hedge towards a year like this next year?
We actually hedged toward this year throughout the past. We had to use our contingency has gone to get through this year at this point. But we've been holding back about $1 million a year every single year over the last 4 or 5 years just for this kind of winter, so that when something happens, we have the cash flow to get people out there, to get contractors hired, to get things moving. Right now, you know, we're looking at probably, as we go through the storm damage process and the recovery process through the federal and states, we're going to probably be out about $2 million in match funds. And so, you know, we got a budget for it, that over the next couple of years. It'll take probably 2 to 5 years to get everything rebuilt back together. And hopefully we won't have another disaster by then.
The private contractors that you work with in these kinds of situations, are they a godsend?
You bet. There's contractors all over the county, and we are very, very grateful for all the assistance. I mean, we've got contractors out in Orleans, out in Shelter Cove, and, you know, having them to be able to babysit problem sites for us where we don't have to go out there, having them, you know, with their equipment, being able to get out and clear roads, it's a godsend. We don't have the people anymore to take care of it all, so we rely heavily on the contractors.
When do you do the inventory?
Which inventory?
The inventory of the problems, the challenges, where things are. Are you going to wait until we get 4 or 5 more days like this? And kind
no,
of
we've already settled? Well in. I mean, our that's the day the things happen. We're out there. The demands from the federal and the state government for information are very tight timelines. So the minute we start getting where we think we're going to be in a declared disaster, we get our engineering teams out there to start doing cost estimates and looking at things. And, you know, it's constant from day one.
Do you spend a lot of time revisiting sites? I would think, you know, you want to wait until it's done to see what the issue is instead of midway and you're going back 4 or 5 times.
You have to go out there initially to get the information. And yes, they grow and they shrink over time as you get to them. But we have to go out there initially and get a cost estimate put together, a disaster form, assistance form request. So we have to go out there early and get that information. And then our road crews will tell us, hey, it's getting worse, or it's staying the same. And then the state will come up and the feds will come out. We'll take another trip out there to look at the site with the state and federal representatives. And they'll either agree or disagree that it qualifies, it meets the requirements. You can only go this far. We're not going to pay for any more, and negotiate basically a real estimate, and then we go to bid and things like that.
So you have the initial report and then the follow-ups.
Yes. Yeah.
How large is your secretarial staff?
We have a good sized business staff.
Yeah, I'm thinking if you.
I have a secretary, but my business division. You know, when we go through the federal and state financing, it is a lot of accounting and paperwork, and we do have six or seven people that just focus on financing.
And you probably could handle a couple more if.
Well, we could easily handle a couple more. We just can't pay them.
Yeah. Well, this probably isn't a position you want volunteers.
These are, you know, these are the people that keep all the records, everything clear, so that when the auditors come, there is no discrepancy, because the last thing we want is 5 years from now the federal government to come in and say, you blew it and you need to pay us back $1 million.
That's not a good letter.
No.
It's 8:30.
We do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 8:34. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Tom Madsen. Talk Shop's presented by CDH Painting and by REDEC. Tom, some of the different challenges that you deal with, are part of them our, as the community, not understanding the different jurisdictions? I got a pothole in front of my house. I live in City X, but I know Tom. I call him up and say, hey, Tom, my town is part of the county. How come you guys can't?
And
Caltrans or the state parks, you know, some of these other areas also. Do you kind of get?
We get a lot of calls for roads that aren't the county's. But we refer people to the appropriate phone number to call. We'll refer them to Caltrans or state parks, or if it's the city, we'll refer them to the city public works department. We get calls on water and wastewater. We don't do water and wastewater. So we'll refer them to either a service district or to the city that services them. And so we have all those numbers since we get those calls on a regular basis. And, most people don't care. They just want to call the government agency and get it fixed.
That's where I was, on one hand, it might be seen as a hassle, but on the other, hey, at least they're thinking of us as being the top dog.
Exactly.
And have the biggest confidence to get something taken care of.
They're calling to make something happen, and our job is to put them in the right place to make that happen.
That's kind of fun. There are JPAs.
Yes.
That a lot of jurisdictions have and different departments have. I'm thinking cops, because, they all kind of tend to work together. Does Public Works?
Those would be MOUs.
Well, okay, but fine. It's the same alphabet.
ABC.
Do you guys have something similar, or with the special districts, do you have those types of relationships so that everybody's kind of playing together in the sandbox?
We try to play together as well as we can with everybody without a bunch of paperwork. The public works people all work together well. Staff works well with staff. countywide or statewide, we do have an MOU with all counties virtually statewide for mutual aid, just in case, like when we have the big earthquake, we will be calling Central Valley counties that aren't impacted for assistance, and we have an MOU on already signed for making that happen.
Does that formalize it? That
formalizes it.
Okay.
But, you know,
for like workers' comp and all that kind of
exactly
stuff?
All that okay. good stuff. But, you know, we have good relationships, I think, with most of our cities where, you know, if their workers see something on the county road near the city, they'll take care of it. But if we're going through the city and we see a tree down, we'll stop and take care of it as well. We just help each other out. And it's just the way the system works. It works with the tribes, with the state parks. Everybody that's involved in maintenance, we all know we don't have nearly enough people. So therefore, we all really understand we need to help each other.
Well, I would think it would save everybody time, effort, and pain if you're driving by something, can take care of it instead of somebody else having to drive 10, 15 minutes each way, assemble the crew, take care. You know, it's a two-hour process instead of 2 minutes.
If I got a guy who can get out and take a tree out of the road in 15 minutes, it's probably less time than it's going to take him to call in the dispatch, for dispatch to call and get a hold of the other jurisdiction, for the other jurisdiction to find somebody to send out there. It's just... what was Forrest Gump, stupid is as stupid does. So we all try to work together and help each other out.
That explains the sign in your office.
I didn't know I allowed you in my office.
Can you do that with the state and the federal folks also?
A little bit. You know, the Caltrans people, their maintenance people, they're very good to work with. You know, some of their maintenance stations are off the main highway, and so they'll take care of things on the way to and way out. You know, if we need things that they have, we can borrow them. If they need something we have, which is rare because we're the county and they're the state, but we're more than willing to work mutually with each other. I mean, when they've had good slide material that they needed to get rid of that we saw as a resource, as rock base, we make available places for them to put it so we can use it later on to fix our roads.
So some of these challenges that are being dealt with are also opportunities.
Exactly.
So you're not salivating when these slides happen, are you?
No.
Okay.
No. Nobody likes the additional workload because our roads are bad enough already without the winter damage adding to it.
Last chance grade is pretty well understood by folks. I heard last night at a meeting 18 inches of asphalt have been laid down this calendar year so far as it's continuing to move. Was the one south of Garberville a surprise or an eventuality, and the timing was just the issue?
I think that one's eventuality and timing. That was just a steep, steep slope, and it was bound to happen. You know, 18 inches of asphalt, I just wish I had 18 inches of asphalt anywhere in this county. That's a lot of material to have to keep putting down, but it is the state highway, and it's not a county road. It's the arterial, so they got to put the money where the most people use.
With the county roads, are there any situations that are just as nefarious?
Well,
that's my fancy word for the day. Nefarious.
We've had roads that are blown out, yes. They don't serve nearly as many people, but they're also very, very important to the people that they do serve. And so we have to punch in detours, or they're one lane. You know, we've got a one lane bridge out on Shelter Cove Road right now where we're trying to get a culvert replaced at a site that blew out. We've got Wilder Ridge Road that blew out that we had to put a detour in. So it's all over the place. You get the bigger highlight on the main arterials because that's the main way in and out of the community. But you also have to get around within our community, and that's what the county road system does.
KINS, News and Information Times, 8:42. We'll be back with more from Tom Matson.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
TheShoppingShow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka. Good morning, KINS. News and information time is 8:47. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Humboldt County Public Works Director Tom Mattson. Tom, keeping it on the roads instead of some of the other challenges that you're getting to play with these days. I guess I am ignoring you. But at least I'm aware of them.
Exactly.
All right. We hear X number of truckloads hauling off, from the slide.
Yeah.
It sounds really, really impressive.
It is.
Any of those numbers. Is there anything that is a relative that we can use? Regular guys that don't drive trucks or know what's going on. What is a truckload of, and they say 225 truckloads of material were hauled off this afternoon. What does that mean?
Well, a regular truck, just your regular dump truck, holds about 10 yards of material. And so that's 10 cubic yards of material. The back of your pickup might hold a yard if it's a big pickup. So if you start adding that up, it adds up very quick. It's a lot of material that has to be moved.
Where to?
Caltrans and both the county and Caltrans, we all have disposal sites that we've got permitted or regulated. We take the material to so it can be properly laid down, properly covered up, so they're with erosion control, et cetera, so it doesn't continue to damage the environment.
So you got a flat somewhere?
You get a flat or you get a little valley that you can fill that doesn't have a stream in it. You build little mountains and you compact them. You're moving one hill to make another hill.
Is that the permanent location, or does that become a pile that you guys can use if needed somewhere?
It depends. We try to have our disposal sites spread everywhere, just like Caltrans does. So you're not double hauling material. You want to haul it once and put it away. You don't want to have to haul it and then pick it up and haul it again. But in an emergency, if you're trying to get the road open, you may just move it off to the side of the road to another turnout for a while, just to get the road open. And you may have to double handle it just because the first priority is get the road open the best you can. But like the slide on 101 with Caltrans, they have a huge disposal site right down the road from there, right off the edge of 101. And so they don't have very far to haul that material, which makes it good for them to be able to move and open that site.
And then when the repair happens, if it's a slip out or a sinkhole or something like that, stuff is used or
it depends. If it's good material, you can reuse it as base or as fill. I've used some of our disposal sites to rebuild slip outs and places where
I almost heard Stagecoach there.
No, not yet. But that would be a site where we would haul in material, and the first thing we would do is look at our closest disposal site and see if that material meets our fill requirements, and if it does, we'll move that material in.
So it's not just fill, it's the combination of whatever's inside that.
Exactly. If it's full of grass and logs, you're not going to use it. But if it's nice rocky material, we're going to reuse it.
Thanks for coming by.
Thank you.
Stay dry.
Always. We're hoping winter's over.
There you go. See everybody on Monday.